Now, this is part two of a message that began last week, saints. And what is the title of our message? Part two. Now, saints, I'm sorry, but some of you weren't here last Sunday, so some things will not make sense to you. But I encourage you to go on the website at www.glenvillenewlife.com, and you can get part A so then you can really understand part B, okay? Now, saints, Michael, if you would set up my little thing for me, please, my little display. Now, saints, wouldn't it be great in life if we all had a map to follow? If we all had some kind of just divine map so it could say, Kelly, go down to 105, turn left, turn right, avoid that, get us on the corner, make a smooth move again, and then you're going to get exactly where you need to be. Avoid this rocky pitfall. Don't fall in love with that guy over there. Definitely stay away from them. All these things that we can see in advance that would prevent us from falling into pits and falls and struggling with all the things that happen in our lives. It would be so nice if Jesus, we could hear his voice, just like you're hearing my voice, to say, don't go in that direction, and be real clear, huh? It would be nice if we had help every step of the way, saints. So today we are going to give me some help every step of the way. They not up here interrupting my sermon. They doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They are setting up my obstacle course. And I have a blindfold here, saints, and you all are going to help me through this obstacle course. You see, saints, life is like an obstacle course or a path. And we are all on this path of life, and we are all trying to avoid the holes, the rocky pitfalls, all the sand and the dust and everything else. And we are trying to get from point A to point B with as much success as possible. Where's my balloon at, praise God? Oh, no balloon. Oh, my balloon got moved to the women's bathroom. I know that was one of y'all little kids, but that's okay. It's okay. We know y'all like the balloons. So we are trying to get from point A to point B with as much success as possible. Amen. The problem is that many of us think we can navigate this path all by ourselves. We think that we don't need any help. I definitely don't need your advice. I don't want you telling me how to do anything. I think I should figure it out all on my own. That's what some of us say, amen. Anybody ever said words like that, especially when your mama or your daddy or grandmama or auntie was trying to tell you the right thing to do, and you just did not believe that what they were saying was the truth? Now, my grandmama used to tell me, Kelly, you shouldn't wear them mini skirts. You can't tell me you old fashioned. I can wear mini skirts. Kelly, you shouldn't wear those mini skirts. Kelly, you old fashioned. I mean, I said, Grandma, you old fashioned. And so on and on and on. It wasn't until later in life that I realized she was trying to teach me something that I just could not see. Saints, you see, when we start off our path in life, we are in the dark and we are trying to get to the light. But we are in the dark and we cannot see. But there are some people who can see. Why can they see? Because they've been along the path. Some of them two steps in front of you, some of them in the middle, some of them all the way at the end. So who am I, if I'm at the beginning, not to listen to you who's at the end? Saints, you're going to help me through. All right, saints. Oh, praise God. We got the balloon. Okay, see? Lighter color balloon. That's our light. Praise God. So, saints, see, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby was watching on the internet this morning, and, you know, Pastor Rick called in and said, oh, that test wasn't complicated enough, so he decided to make it a little bit more complicated for me. Okay? So, if I fall, Pastor Rick, it's on you. I don't have any holes. I cannot see. And to make it even more difficult, you all are now going to move the things, the objects around. And then somebody, Michael, you still right there? Okay. Michael, Pastor Rick suggesting that you spin me around a few times and make me dizzy. All right. Oh, let me give you the rules. Those of you that's on the left, my left over there, You are the voice of reason. You are the voice of righteousness and goodness and all the things we're supposed to do right, okay? So you're going to be trying to get me to do the right thing to get to the balloon. All of you over here closest to me, you are the voice of insanity. And you are trying to instruct me to do wrong, to go the wrong way to avoid that balloon, okay? We got it? Okay. Oh, Walter said, I can hear you, Walter. Walter said, now see, saints, before I get spent around and get real messed up, we all stand in this path and we all stand in this place trying to get from one place to other. Now, all of us, you know, we hear different things, different voices, different media industries, so many things come in our direction. But we are blind. You see, saints, we can see where we were. Ooh, who is that? We can see where we were. Well, sometimes we can't because we don't even know who's behind us. We can see, we know where we are, hopefully. But we cannot see what's right in front of us. We cannot see our future, okay? So here we go. Please don't make me fall. Learn from all of that. That was pretty scary, guys. I don't think I'm gonna have all of y'all try that. Because I can hear y'all so powerfully. And it's funny because I did the same thing this morning. I started hearing one person's voice out of the crowd. I heard Eula. Straight! Straight! I was like, focus on Eula. But then I kept hearing all that. I was like, Eula, where you at? Eula, where you at? But that's how it is for us, saints. We might not see it, we might not realize it, but we have so many voices telling us all the wrong to do that we can barely hear the voice of God. That's what the world does to us, saints. That is real and is scary, and I didn't even realize it was so scary till I had to walk through it again myself. There's a lot more of y'all in the second service than it is the first service. So let me tell you, saints, last week we had a sermon on secrets. And that sermon on secrets was, we talked a lot about all of us having secrets, and we used the gospel, the book of Judges, and we used Samson. I'm going to go into it more later. But we talked about Samson and all the mistakes he had made. Now I want to tell you, some of you got up from last week's service, and you left out of here, and you had heard the voice of God.
You heard reason and not insanity. Now let me ask you, Saints, was I telling a lie last week, those of you that were here? Do anybody think that I was making something up? Do you think I was trying to get extra money in my salary or something to come up with that story? So everybody's in agreement that I was telling the truth. All right, and we're here at the church, so no lying in the church. So, you know, Saints, some of us heard the word, and we immediately got up, went home, made some changes. Some of us left here and thought, that sermon had absolutely nothing to do with me, and I don't know what she was up there talking about. Some of us left saying, well, it was kind of interesting what she said, but we're still straddling that fence trying to figure out what to do, and we're unsure. Now, some of us left, and we really was convicted, and we decided, oh, I'm going to go home and try to make some changes. And you got home on Monday, you was like, yeah, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to not watch that porn. I'm not have sex with that person I know I shouldn't be having sex with. I'm not going to do those drugs. And you made it good all the way to Wednesday. Wednesday you came maybe to the prayer service. You was doing real good, real good. Then all of a sudden, Saints, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day messed up half of y'all. I already know. You got to hearing them songs on 93.1, 107.9, and they got the swaying here. Got to thinking about love and all them hearts in the stores. Ooh. Somebody gave you a call, what's up? And then you just plain failed. You did not keep your commitment. But I praise God that you all came back today. Some of you are new and didn't hear the message last week. But God is speaking to all of us and not just one of us. Now, Saints, I got to tell you some things about myself. There is nothing special about me more than you. Even though I like to think of myself as really special, I'm not more special than any of you sitting out there. You know why? Because I'm a sinner, just like all of you. My education doesn't make me any better. My thought of good looks does not make me better. My ability to charm or persuade, or at least I think I can charm somebody, doesn't make me any better than you all. My smile or anything about me does not make me better than you all. It also doesn't mean that I have any special connection with God that is not available to you. You see, Saints, my going to seminary and my studying the Bible and all those things does not mean that I have some kind of inside connection with God that you don't have as well. We're all equal in this. You see, the one thing that I do know of, and I'm sure most of you all do as well, is that I have a little bit of faith, a whole lot of trust, and a desire for the truth. You see, Saints, that's what kind of makes me stand out sometimes, is that I believe without any doubt that God is real, that God is here and active in my life. Now, going back to last week's sermon, so this week's sermon to make sense is, we all got secrets, right? There isn't any secret that is unknown. We all try to dabble just enough not to get caught. We try to just a little bit of this to not get busted. We all try to try just a little bit of this little thing over here and try to just get into it just enough before things get out of control. The problem is, Saints, is that we don't know when things are going to get out of control. None of us know that moment when we are going to sink into becoming an alcoholic, a drug addict, strung out on the streets, walking around the corners. None of us know that moment. None of us know the moment where we're going to cross the line, betray our husband, our wife, or our children. We don't know the moment. So usually, we've all had the oops moment. All of us have that oops moment, but we've crossed the line. You see, all of us have gotten close to sin, but we hold back just long enough not to cross the line. Problem is, most of us cross the line. And we go to the point of no return. And we do things that we know we shouldn't have never, ever done in our lives. And Saints, see, this is when Satan starts his happy dance. Because he knows, oh, I got you now. You are feeling hopeless, lost, unworthy, unloved. You are a failure. You are nothing and unusable by God. He likes to get us so low down into our fallings that we think we cannot get up. Well, let me show you my second demonstration today. Oh, I've fallen and I can't get up. Thanks. How do you get up? You sure about that? Because so many of y'all think it's so hard to do. How do you get up? Get up. Push myself up, now what? All right. Huh. Is that so hard to do? Wasn't that complicated? Now, I could have got some help. One of y'all could have came up here and helped me up. But I got up, amen? Did I have to read a special book? Did I have to go to self-help group and all that stuff? Get up. Right? You see, Satan loves to make us think that we cannot get up, that we are hopeless, downcast, and unworthy. Satan loves these low points. He loves to say you won't ever be nothing. The great thing is, though, saints, is we have a God that loves to tell us, here, I'm going to help you get up. We have a God that says, I love you. You are worthy. I died for your sins. You are covered in my blood, and there is nothing you can do to keep that I'm going to keep you down in that pit of despair. You see, we all have secrets, and we all want to know, how in the world are we supposed to deal with these secrets, saints? What are we supposed to do? And saints, after this morning service, I realized that some of you clearly want me to tell you, A, do this. B, then do this next. C, then do this next. D, E, F, and all the way to Z. You want me to lay out step by step what you are supposed to do. But see, saints, I am a human just like you. That is absolutely impossible for me to do. I listen to the same God that you listen to. I talk to the same God that you talk to. I know the same Jesus that died for you, he died for me. So, saints, this is not something we can do alone. You see, Satan got one thing right. Out of all the things he got wrong, he did get one thing right. You see, Satan knows that we can't do anything by ourselves, but he loves telling us. He loves saying, oh, you can do it. You're strong enough. You're brave enough. You're good looking enough. And that's what happened to Samson in last week's sermon. Samson thought he was so good looking. My hair was so fly. I was looking all good. I'm so strong. I can do anything by myself. That's who I am. But saints, we can't do anything alone. Say this with me. With God. With God. We can do all things. Through Christ. Who strengthen us. That is the key. That is your A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. All the way down to Z. You see, nothing I'm saying today will make sense to you if you don't get the fact that there is nothing that I can do or you can do. It is God that is doing the work. We're joining in. We're a part of it. You see, Satan tries to trick us, deceive us, make us think all these things. But God is steady, that voice of reason, trying to tell us, I'm telling you what to do. So if I had to list out A, B, C for you, tell me, what are some things we're supposed to do? Pray. What else? Read the Bible. Study. Go to Bible study. What else? Pay some tithes. Love each other. Okay. So we all know what to do. You all just told me. I didn't even have to stand up here with this message today. Y'all already know what to do. But I know some of you are sitting there thinking, okay, here she goes again. If it was that easy to have Jesus, if it was that easy to pray and do Bible study and, you know, like each other and help each other, you all do like each other, right? Look at the person next to you. Do you think they're pretty decent? You know, they're a Christian. They got something good about them, right? So we all pray. We all at least think each other some kind of good Christian at some time. We come to church. We listen to gospel music in between that rep station. We all do all these things every day. We come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and some of us are here all day Saturday. We come to church, but we still don't see any real change in our lives. Why is it that I'm doing everything you say, pastors? Why am I praying and why am I tithing and why am I, you know, trying to live right at home, but I still want to look at porn? Why is it that I'm singing that gospel song, but I still wanted to commit adultery? Why is it that I'm doing all these things at the church, but I still want to do the drugs and drink the alcohol? Why is it that if I'm supposed to do all these things, nothing is changing in my life? What is it that I don't seem to have? What am I missing? Well, see, saints, let me ask you this. You see, we all got the list. We all know what we're supposed to be doing and the being obedient and all of that other stuff. But let me ask you this question, because this one question will determine everything else in your life. This is the question that is going to give you the how, the why, the when your life is going to change. So y'all ready for transformation? Okay, this is your question. Is Jesus alive to you? Is Jesus a real, living, breathing, involved, loving, and especially disciplining God in your life? Or is Jesus just a bunch of warm, fuzzy feelings? You know, like when you think you're in love with somebody, you feel all warm and you got them butterflies in your belly and you think something going on, you're feeling all good. You know, saints, a lot of us are waiting to feel something. Have you been waiting to feel something? Have you been waiting for the lightning clouds to open? Pow, pow! There's God. You've been waiting, you know, to feel this awesome whatever. I don't know what. You're just trying to feel something. You want to feel what everybody else is feeling, or you think everybody else is feeling around you, but you're the only one that's not feeling it. Come to church every Sunday, you're looking like, wow, they feel with the Spirit, but I still don't feel the Spirit. If you are basing your God on your feelings, you are in deep trouble. You see, saints, God is not a feeling. God is not butterflies in our stomach. God is not fuzzy stars and lightning bolts opening from the clouds. God is not gas bubbling up in your stomach. He's not. The God of Israel, the God that found a way to send his only begotten Son to earth to die on the cross and then to rise again for all of us, is not a feeling. God is active in our lives. God is not a feeling. God is an experience. You see, when I hold my baby's hand, I feel something, yeah. But it's also an experience of walking with my children, holding their hands, holding my friend's hands. When I come up to you and I embrace you, it is an experience that I am having, not just a feeling that I'm having. God is active. God is real at all times and in all places. And saints, if we was just to stop to recognize that, to believe in a real, living God. Turn and look to the empty spot. If it's to your left or right or in front of you, behind you, did you think that God was right there next to you today? Is God right behind you, in front of you, beside you, in you? Because if you can't recognize that God is here in this building right now, and also down the street at the other church, and also over down on the west side at their church, and over in Maple and Bedford at their church, God is everywhere, at all times, in all places. You see, saints, that is the transformation that we miss. You see, saints, if you knew right now that God was standing right here before you, right here, right now, before you, how would that change your behavior? If you knew that God was going to walk out the door with you today and go to your home with you, would you still watch that porn? Would you still use those drugs? Would you still have sex with that person that you know that you're not supposed to have sex with? You know God is in the room when y'all doing all of that. You think, okay, God, you ain't seeing it. Oh, he right there. Why you know, I don't see nothing wrong with a little, he right there. He right there. He said, I see something wrong. If God knew If you knew that God heard every one of your conversations, if he saw those text messages y'all be sending back and forth, if he saw your email messages and read them thoroughly, would you still send the same message? Would you still sit there talking about, girl, you should have saw what she had on today? I can't believe she said, I don't even like her like that. Would you still say that if you knew God was on the phone with you, you know, that three-way caller? If you knew God saw every deed, that means when you walked over to write it and you wanted to steal something, God saw you stealing it. When you was going through your mama's wallet or your daddy's wallet and trying to take that little dollar out, God saw you doing it. You know, when you was at school peeping over somebody's test, yep, he saw that too. If you knew God saw every deed you did, heard every word you spoke, and then the one that get me all the time is he hears my thoughts. You know, even in the secret places when I be thinking, oh, she getting on my nerves, and can't nobody hear me saying it, but I'm thinking it, God heard that thought too. So saints, see, that is the key to change, to transformation. That is the answer. Because if we know God is present at every moment and every time of our lives, we will change. We will change. If you forever want to change your life, if you want to change your circumstances, if you want to stop your issues, if you want to stop those secrets that you have been doing, you have to realize, saints, that God sent his son to earth to die for us. That's the key. But the second part of that is that he also broke through with sin. Sin. Jesus didn't just come to die for us. The other part of that was the sin. You see, we read in Isaiah, I don't know if you all were paying attention to that scripture reading. Some of y'all weren't here on time to see it. Yeah, I'm putting it out there. Y'all should be on church on time. But God is constantly providing for us, constantly working for us, constantly working inside of us. But see, saints, we think we can do it all by ourselves. Now, saints, could I have gotten through that path all by myself? After Michael spun me around about 100 different ways, could I have gotten through that path by myself? Can you see the images of life that, see, that's what life does. If Satan makes us think the path is one way, then he spins us around while we over there kissing homeboy. He spins us around, can't even get think straight, and then we can't see the path anymore. We so involved in our sin that we cannot see the path, and then we don't want to listen to the voices of righteousness. We don't want to hear what they got to say. Don't tell me how to live my life. I think when I'm ready to do what I'm going to do, I will do it in my own time, in my own space. Who are you to tell me? Look how much sin you committed in your life. Why are you trying to tell me what to do? That's what y'all say. That's what y'all say. But we cannot get through this path of life by ourselves. You see, if we could get rid of sin, if we can get rid of abuse, overindulgence, disobedience, deception, we can get rid of hate and guilt and impurity, impure thoughts. If we can get rid of all the violence and the poverty in the world, if we can get rid of drug abuse and all that stuff, we'd already have it done. We'd already have it done. You see, saints, we cannot do any of this stuff on our own. We need Jesus. And see, Jesus is so different from any God you ever want to hear about. And see, this is what I like, oh, Buddha sounds real good. When you talk about the light and the karma and all that, it sounds real good. And our lives sound so great. They sound all good and dandy. But none of them died for my sin. None of them died for me at all. And better yet, none of them broke the bonds of sin. Half the time, they don't even talk about sin. Especially in Buddhism, they think if you just, you know, meditate long enough, you're going to fly away or something. I don't know what they think. But, you know, I can sit there meditating all day. Didn't get rid of my impure thoughts, though, did it? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for us with regard to sin that was in our Isaiah passage. Jesus came here to heal the damage done by sin. You see, when we are in our brokenness, when we are broke down, we provide damage to us and those around us. When we are in divorces and adultery, you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your children, you're hurting your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your aunts and uncles, you're hurting everybody in your family. When you go to school and you don't want to get good grades and you don't want to graduate and you don't want to do the right thing, who are you hurting? Everybody, not just yourself. When you cannot get a good job because you don't know how to read well enough because you didn't want to pay attention to school, who are you hurting? No mother, no father wants to be able to say, my child can't get a job. My child is in jail. My child is in a gang, gang banging or selling drugs. That's not something I aspire to. I don't know about you all. But you see, saints came to heal the damage in our communities. You see, saints, Glenville wasn't always like this. Most of us from the Glenville area. It wasn't always, you know, a time of drugs on the corner and all this stuff happening. You see, saints, but somebody failed along the way. Somebody got too comfortable in their Christianity and forgot that God is real and forgot to say to those folks on the street, hey, God is right there. You better move on. We are not having that here in our community. But saints, it is not too late, because Jesus is here to heal the damage that sin has done. Sin causes poverty. It is sin that causes poverty. And Jesus says, I came to give good tidings to the poor. He didn't say, I came to give you $1 million. He said, I came to give you good tidings, that your situation is not going to always be that way. That I have the kingdom and all the glory and all those things for you, and you don't have to worry about it. Sin breaks hearts, saints. All of us have had a broken heart. I was listening to the radio on the way in. The lady, Robin Sumner, she wrote a book. She was 21 years old, dating an NFL football player. They was in college together. They were the love of each other's lives. They had already started having sex. He had told her, you don't have to go to law school. She was accepted into law school. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do any of that, because I got my millions. I'm going to take care of you, baby. You see, but the NFL and all that worldly stuff is screw you up. Because he got to the NFL and told her 18 days before the marriage or 13 days before the marriage, I don't want to marry you. And walked away from her. And walked away from her, brokenhearted. Didn't even think twice about it. Sin breaks heart. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Sin makes us captive and in prison. When we were talking about Samson last week, part of his story was that when he lost his strength, when he lost his perspective on God, they got him good and put him in jail and bound him up and tied him. The man couldn't move. He was trapped to this big thing and pushing around. That's what he did all day long. I'm just going to push this thing around. Sin binds us, saints. It's like being in prison. And most of us know that, because when we know we're doing wrong and we can't get out of it, we can't see a way out of it, we don't know what to do. Sin is our prison. But Jesus came to give liberty, and he opens those prison doors for us. And he says, no longer are you bound and captive. You are free. Sin oppresses, saints. I was thinking about all of this perspective. A lot of people compare issues of slavery to everybody else. But slavery was a sin. Our people should have never been enslaved, especially a lot of those people that were the masters were Christians. Our people should have never been enslaved. But Jesus, you know, those slaves wasn't calling on Allah back in the day. They wasn't calling Buddha's name back in the day when they were singing them songs. They were singing to Jesus. Our people got their freedom from oppressive masters because of Jesus. Not because of anybody else. Sin is a crime that must be avenged. And we all like that. Somebody do us wrong, I'm going to get you back. Oh, I don't care how long it take. I can hold a grudge forever. Oh, I'm going to get you back. Yeah, I got my eye on you. I'm waiting. But that's a sin, saint. You see, sin is a crime that must be avenged not by us, but by Jesus. Jesus proclaims the day of vengeance, not us. Sin brings grief to all who mourn. You know, when a mother loses her child out there on the street because he's been shot down by gangbangers or whatever, somebody was carjacking him or whatever, that was sin that brought grief to somebody else. And Jesus says, I will comfort all who mourn. Jesus does that. You see, saints, once we realize that Jesus is the answer, that he is real, living, involved in our lives, that is the answer. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, Pastor Kelly, is that all you got to give me? Is that all? You can't give me no steps? No good advice? Nothing to write down? Let me tell you real clear, the only thing I got to give you is Jesus. That's all I got. I don't have no money. Well, I got a little bit, but it ain't enough for all of y'all. You know, I could take my clothes off, but I think y'all don't want to see all that and share with y'all. You know, I got one house, and all, you know, 100 of y'all cannot fit in there. You know, I can give you advice that brought me through, but what worked for me might not work for you. It might work for you, but then again, it might not. You see, saints, we cannot do this alone. We have to recognize that Jesus is the answer to every one of our problems. Every one of our problems. When you say, what can I do about my marriage? Jesus. What can I do about my children? Jesus. What can I do about the stress? Jesus. What can I do about my stealing problem? Jesus. 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 I cannot give you anything else but Jesus. That's all I got. That's all I got. You see, once we recognize that Jesus is right here, right present, telling us, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He said, I will never leave you. He didn't say from the year 2000, you know, 1 AD when I leave the earth, or 33 AD when I leave the earth, until 2009, I'm not going to be there. God never said, he said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You see, once we realize that Jesus is right here with us, that Jesus is the answer to every one of our problems, then you see, God will start rebuilding us. God will restore us. You see, God is the master of rebuilding what has been broken down and put down and stepped on. God is the rebuilder, the restorer of every one of our lives. You think your marriage was so bad you couldn't find a way to get it right? Oh, Jesus got a way. You think your kids are so bad that they ain't gonna never do what they're supposed to do? Jesus got a way. You think your job and all of you that lost the job and you had to give up your house, you had to give up everything, whatever you lost, you think I'm never going to get through this? Let me tell you something, Jesus is pulling you through. Jesus has the way. Jesus says, I am, what? No one comes to the Father except through me. When we finally get a hold on that and stop dabbling with the world, oh, all religions are okay. What they say is good too. And that's wrong. All religions aren't the way. Jesus is the way. And if you don't like me saying that, too bad for you. Jesus is the way. I know it's going to be some comments online. But you see, once we realize that Jesus is real, Jesus is our answer, Jesus sets us apart. He takes us and says, you are my own. You are my child, and I'm going to set you apart from the rest of the world. You see, we keep wanting to dabble just like Samson. We want to worship on Sunday, and then we want to creep on Monday. But Jesus is saying, you got to be set apart. So that means some of us gonna have to give up some friendships. Some of us gonna have to give up some relationships. Some of us gonna have to get rid of our computer. That's just it. You need to work on your computer at work when everybody else around. Some of us gonna have to walk away from some things. Now, you know, I know it's not a sin to go to the club, but most of y'all know y'all cannot handle it. So you shouldn't be in the club because you know you're gonna take a drink. You shouldn't be in the club talking about I'm telling everybody about Jesus when you know you said Jesus in a whisper. That don't count. That don't count. Don't count because you are set apart. You are special. You are reserved by God. And since we are in a spiritual battle, we are in a spiritual war. And if you don't think it, you don't believe it, all you got to do is open your eyes real wide because Satan is trying to defeat us every turn. It's not any other religion being persecuted right now but Christians. We are the only one that you hear about Christians being killed. We are the ones being persecuted. You see, saints, when we are at the lowest part of our lives, when we are down and feeling shame because of our sin and all the bad things that we have done in our lives, Jesus says, I am going to turn your shame into honor. And not just any honor. He said, I'm going to give you double honor. So you think, I don't mess up. How can God love me enough to give me double honor? Do he know what I've done in my life? Yes, he knows what you've done in your life. And he's still saying, I love you enough to honor you. When we're confused and we don't know the path and we're stumbling along and falling, Jesus is saying, I am going to turn your confusion into rejoicing. And we're going to rejoice at what our portion is in life. And see, some of us think our portion should be that $50 million check, Bill Gates type money. That's what we think our portion should be. But that's not God's plan. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. When you really believe in God and God is here, you will love that portion that God gives you. Even if your portion is being at home, not having a good job right now, you know, things are rocky and messed up, you will love your portion. Because you know, I remember feeling like I had $1 million. I had finally won the lottery when I realized that God was living in my life all the time. That was my $1 million. I don't want $1 million because $1 million is going to get me caught up in the world. I'd rather take this side over here. You see, saints, God is saying, I'm going to take your pain. And every one of us right now is feeling some type of pain in our lives. And he says, I'm going to turn your pain into everlasting joy. That's the God that loves us. You see, saints, I don't stand here trying to get you to believe something that's a lie. Most of you all that know me, you know I don't have time for no lies and no games. I'd rather be at home chilling back watching Home Shopping Network or something like that. The home, you know, the channels you can learn how to decorate your house. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Home and Garden, thank you. You know, I got a whole lot of things. I like reading and stuff like that. I had a lot of things to do to stand here to tell you all a bunch of lies. I stand here as a real person, a person that's just like you, that had a whole lot of struggles in my life, that thought I could get through this path by myself and thought I had all the things right and I didn't have nothing right. I stand here as a person just like Paul. When Paul talked about, I am the worst sinner, that's me. I get right in line. I stand here like the disciples, you know, that tax collector. He shouldn't have been a part of the crew, but Jesus let him in. I stand here like all those church mothers and fathers who died to tell the truth. You see, saints, you know your faith is real when you are willing to die for it. I wanted to go out on the corner and have people throw rocks at me and whatever they're going to do, but I am going to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's faith, saints. I am no different from you. I don't have a different connection than what you have. We all have traveled this path of life. We've all struggled. But the one thing that some of us have yet to do is recognize when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Some of us have failed to say, Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for me. Some of us have failed to say, I believe that you, your blood has forgiven all of my sins. And most of all, some of us have yet to say, Jesus, I receive you into my heart. And I live my life for you and you alone. Saints, if you have yet to say those words, then you are different from the rest of us. And if you continue in your life of sin and rejection of God, you got a promise too. You might not want to believe in that promise, but you got a promise too, and that promise is hell. And eternal torture. And you might leave out here, oh, she's lying again, she's making up stuff. I don't have time to be making up nothing for you all today. My greatest passion is to tell the truth. And the truth at all costs. So saints, as we pray, I invite each and every one of you to open your hearts to really know God, to believe in God, to trust God, to live as if God is standing beside you at all times and all places. Don't leave out here talking about I didn't have that funny feeling that I thought I was supposed to have, or she didn't touch my heart, or whatever people say. Because Jesus is speaking to all of us today. So let us all rise, and I will pray.